And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God, he has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, and one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews, therefore, quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Well, look, if you have your Bibles tonight, I want us to turn to that chapter, one verse I have for you. And on the last Sunday of the month, always want to make the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ as simple as one can make it. You know the saying, keep it simple, stupid. And I'm speaking to myself. Although I am aware that no matter how simple the gospel is, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and they cannot then be discerned. But I will say this to you, there is something of the message of the good news of Jesus Christ that a child who is of 3 years of age, 4 and 5 and 6 years of age, can know the forgiveness of sins, can receive the love of God, and can experience eternal life. Even a child can know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you know there's a God, you hear that he has a Son, he's given him for our sins, and you believe in him tonight, and you can know everlasting life. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, you simply believe in him, and you can know everlasting life. And in this book, there's many accounts of many who believed on him. There's one account of the Apostle Paul, who at one time was found in a prison in Philippi. He was with a man called Silas. It was midnight, and they were singing hymns and psalms. And what happened was there was an earthquake. All the doors opened, and the jailer thought that the prisoners had escaped. He took out his sword. He was willing to fall upon his sword. He was in that desperate condition. And Paul said out, "We are all here." The man said, "This, what must I do to be saved?" And the Apostle Paul said these words, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." That moment that man believed on Jesus Christ and he was saved. That very important word, believe. Everything hangs of your eternity on whether you believe or do not believe. It's simply to believe and to take that. For a person is coming to God and saved by faith alone in Jesus Christ. And tonight what I have for you is one verse. One verse. I want you to know it. I want you to experience it. I want us all to come and to say when we go out to this place tonight, I know of eternal life. Now it's found here in the 47th verse of John chapter 6. I'll read it to you, and perhaps we can all then say it together after me. I want us to know it. This is what it says. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life." That as short and as simple as it could possibly be. Let's say those words. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life." And three things tonight. That first of all, that these are the words of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. They're not my words. They're not the words of the church. But they're the words of Jesus. And you need to listen to them carefully. Because I can assure you tonight, there is no church, there is no cult, and even when you ask many people, how do you get to heaven? The list they give you is endless. The prayers you need to make, the vows you need to make, the chapel you need to go to, the things you need to do, the charity work you're involved with, everything that people come, that you need to do something for you to be saved and to have everlasting life. You will never hear these words from anywhere else apart from the very words of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And I want you to look at them carefully. And when it says there in verse 47, "most assuredly," some of you read the old version. And the old version says, "verily, verily, I say unto you." Another version puts it like this, "truly, truly, I say unto you." They puts it in the Greek, "amen, amen." As sure as it is, you can know what it is to know everlasting life. And when Jesus has something important to say, he's the one who speaks in this very way. You remember in John chapter 3, when he's talking to a man called Nicodemus, and he didn't get it, Jesus said to him, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." And there's a reason why Jesus says this double yes and a double amen, that these people may be assured. What happens in this chapter is this, is that these people have come to the Lord Jesus, and he has fed 5,000 people, and they're coming to him to have bread. And Jesus wants to tell them, your real need in life is not just bread that you can eat and that you will die. You need to know bread that you can eat and have everlasting life. And when Jesus came then, he makes this statement, I am the bread, the living bread, which has come down then from heaven. I'm the bread of life. And then he begins to tell them. He tells them of who he is, the bread of life. He tells them this, that God has a will for you. And you know the will of God for you this night is this. If anybody wants to know God's will for them, it's found here. This is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son, listen, and believes in him may have everlasting life. And God's will for you tonight is that you believe in him and that you would have everlasting life. But what happens is this. The people are against what Jesus says. And what you find here, they don't believe what he says. And what happens here, they become and they murmur against him. There it is in verse 43. Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. And what you have in verse 47, that you can be absolutely sure about, Jesus makes the same statement again. They call it doubling down. He's making sure categorically, truly, that you definitely know that what he says is true. Have you ever heard of the politician? I'm sure you have. The politician says something to someone, and all of a sudden the politician has to clarify themselves. Someone asks them the same question. And before you know it, when they begin to answer, they mumble. They begin to be shifty. They actually didn't mean that. You mistook my words. I could actually mean another thing. But when they come now, you see, to the Lord Jesus says, no, let me tell you. I told you if you believe in me, you have everlasting life. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. And you know, Jesus tonight is the only one who's ever walked in this world and who never lied, never lied. He was full of grace and truth. The Lord Jesus is the one who said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible tells us that all his words are righteousness, and there's no perverseness or crookedness within them, and that you'll be able to understand. And when Jesus was on this earth, he never spoke with any flattery or deceit. And even his enemies said, we know that you fear no man, and you speak the truth. And when you come, and if you want to know tonight, let me tell you, there is one who's come into this world, Jesus Christ, speaks these words. There is none like him. He's the one who's changed history. He's the one who's changed lives. He's the one that we're talking about this night. And you can depend upon him. And when he makes this great statement, no one else, no one else. You read the lives of Muhammad. You read the lives of Gandhi. You read the lives of those popes. You read the lives of those cult leaders. You read the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, truly, truly, I say unto you. And when Jesus says these words, they're words which have been tested. And they're words that you can depend upon. I'm just saying to you tonight, first of all, that when he comes and speaks, you can have eternal life. Not fake news, true news. He doesn't tell you you need 10 Hail Marys. He doesn't tell you you need some kind of sacrament. He doesn't tell you you need some confession. He doesn't tell you anything that you need to do. He simply comes and puts it like this, that you would come and believe. That's all you need, is to believe on him. Now, that's as and it's from the lips of the Lord Jesus. But what I want to do now is I want to explain to you for a moment of what it is then simply to believe. And I'm going to ask you the question tonight. Do you believe in him? Look at that in verse 47. I say to you, he who believes in me. I want you to answer that question. Do you believe in him? And there's something that you're going to need to know to believe in him. What it is to believe in him. Not to believe about him, but to believe in him. And there are three things. And first of all, it's this. You need to believe what he says is true. Because that's the problem these people have. In verse, you see, 41, the Jews complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Now, I know that there are certain people that you just cannot believe. Have you had the person that you know, his stories are always a little bit bigger that makes you question. There's always a tale which never rings true. The facts are never quite right. If he's even telling you, you know, about something simple, you can't believe a word that is said. But I want to show you tonight that what you need, as he tells them, you've got to believe in me. You've got to believe in what I've said. And when you come to the Lord Jesus, can I say to you that the Lord Jesus has told us things and they can be trusted and proved. Do you know the Lord Jesus taught us of what we're really like? He never flattered anyone. Told us that out of the heart of the human being flows all kinds of misery and sin and unfaithfulness. He told us what we're really like. And Jesus came and told us what God is like. He told us there's a heavenly Father. And you know that when you read of the words of Jesus, he told us, did he not, of what will happen in this world. Prophecies that he gave. Things that they could never have imagined possible. And he say that this temple which was before them, not a stone will be laid upon one another. You people are going to be taken out of the land. There's a day which is coming which is going to be of great travesty. Do you know the prophecies of Jesus? They've proved to be true. And when you come and you read of the Sermon of the Mount and you think of how he told us how to live, do you know these words of Jesus? They have been tried and proved like silver in a furnace. And people have lived their lives upon them. And they say everything that he has said has been absolutely true. And his words have been tested in history. His words have been tested in experience. His words have been tested on every level. And you come and you realize Jesus has spoken. He has spoken about heaven. He spoke of hell. Jesus spoke of a way back to God and showed us the way of salvation, told us we needed to believe and to trust in him. You believe in God? You believe also in me. And I'm going to ask you the question. Do you believe in him? Do you believe in the words that he spoke? The claims that he made? The things that he said? The truths that he uttered? If you believe in him. But it's not just believing in his words. Because what's interesting here, you see, the problem they've got is they don't believe in who he is. You find it there in verse 42. And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother I know? And the second thing that can happen, and it does happen, it happens often, is that there are those who say to you, and it's a very strange thing what they say, I believe in the teachings of Jesus But I don't believe in who Jesus really is. I know it sounds crazy, but the contradiction is so mad because Jesus said certain things about himself. You either believe what he said or you don't. But there comes a moment when a person really does put their trust in him, and it's the moment when you begin to realize of who Jesus really is. And Jesus tonight, you don't just simply believe he is a man that was simply born of Joseph. You don't simply believe that he was a man who had miraculous powers. You don't simply believe that he's a man who was more God-conscious than anyone else. You don't simply believe, do you, that he's a man, even though he'd be a prophet. There comes a time in a person's life where something changes. And it's most critical that whoever believes in me, in who he is, he's the Son of God who's come to this earth. He's the maker, the creator. He's the one, the true, the living God. He's the great I am who was before Moses. He's the one who's always been. He's the one who was the Word who became flesh and dwelt amongst us. There comes that moment when Jesus asked Peter and said, "Who do men say that I am? And Peter, who do you say that I am?" "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And I don't know, do you believe in him? Have you come to that place and you've said, "You're the Christ. You're the Son of God. You're the one who is God." And when you come to that, there's been a shift in your life. There's something that's happened, because you can never trust anyone who could give you eternal life unless it is God himself. He's the only one who is eternal. And it comes that moment where you believe. See, you believe what he says. You believe in who he is. You believe now in the work which he's done. This is the problem that they had. Now remember, Jesus has told them that he's the living bread which came down out of heaven. That's where he's come. He's come from heaven. He's come on a mission. He's come to save men and women. But there are people tonight, even in places of worship, that they say that they believe the Bible. They believe every word of the Bible. They believe Jesus is the Son of God. But they don't believe in his work. In his work at Calvary. And his work in his death and his suffering. Let me show you. It's all here. Jesus is telling them categorically, "Truly, truly, I say to you." You find it there, for example. There it is again, verse 53. Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." Do you see it? This was the problem they had. There was something that Jesus had taught them. They had followed him. They said, "This is the prophet. This is the one who was to come. You are the Christ." But when he began to teach them that his body was to become their food and his blood was to come their drink. Don't get it wrong. Taking bread and taking wine will not save you. Verse 35, he tells them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst." But what he is telling them is this. He is telling them the reality that he came and his body was to be broken, and his flesh was to be our food, and his blood was to be of the new covenant. And in that very place when he was to suffer, they didn't like it, that Christ should suffer and die, and a body broken, and atonement made, and blood should be spilt. But by that cross, if you believe that, that there's a place that you're to come to feed on him, way back to God from the dark paths of sin, there's a door that is open, you may go in. Calvary's cross is where it begins, when I come as a sinner to Jesus. No, please, please. Do you see when he says, truly, truly, I say unto you, he who believes in me, in what I've said and taught you, in who I am as the Son of God, in my work which I came to do as an atonement for sin and to suffer in your stead. Those are three things of what it means that you truly believe in him. Now I want to just plead with you tonight, because as you read this verse, he comes and tells us that he who believes in him has everlasting life. This is vitally important. And if only I could plead with you, please listen. I'm making it as simple as possibly I can make it. May the Holy Spirit open your eyes, because if you don't know him, you're dead. And you don't know him, you live in death. And you don't know him, you'll never know life unless you come to believe in him. You will die one day, which will be a death that hangs upon its last breath, and it will be forever. And he comes and he says, I've come to give you eternal life, life which is everlasting, everlasting. And you need it, and we need it. Something every one of us needs tonight is everlasting life. I was only reading an article this week. I think it was someone in this country. I may have got it wrong. I think it was this country. The oldest living man, I think he died, and he was 122 years of age. Good innings. 122. But the article goes on that we're living longer. Now, here's the news for you. I need to share it with you. But if you do the right exercises, you look left and right when you cross the road and don't get run over by a bus, if you take the right vitamins, if you breathe in the right way, and here's the bad news for you, if you live in the right place, you don't. If you live in the right place and the right climate, you can live to 114. 114. You could do it if you just looked after yourself in the maximum, optimum way. It sounds good, doesn't it? But for some, that's a bit too close. 114. It's an interesting thing, life. You know your life. It slipped through your fingers. It's gone. It's like yesterday. I'm on another stage. I'm coming close to the end. My youth, my strength, it's all gone. As Shakespeare said, it's like this. Life is like a tale that's already been told. It's incredible. And as the go older, the faster it goes, the Bible tells us that all flesh is like the grass and like the flower of the field. And the wind blows and it withers and it's gone. And the word of the Lord, it abides forever. Amazing, isn't it? You look over and it's like yesterday. And my life is just like that. And you can live a little bit longer if you could take a few more pills. But it ain't long at all. And Jesus says, I've come that you may have everlasting life. And I want you to think of that. Look at it carefully. What he tells us here in verse 47, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Everlasting life is not now simply pie in the sky when you die. It's steak in the plate as you ate. Has everlasting life. Now, I don't want to embarrass anybody. But for those of you, I'm just going to ask you this question. For those who are a Christian tonight, you can put your hand up. Yeah, that's right. Because I want to ask you a question. Those of you now who have put your hand up, let me ask you. When did you receive everlasting life? When was it? When was it? When you believed. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. And what Jesus said is true. And it is true because he tells us there in John chapter 3, and there it is in verse 36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Now, do you see that? There's the moment when you come to believe. And when you do, you've passed from wrath into life. And you know that your sins have been forgiven. And the eternal life of God comes in you. You have a joy unspeakable, which is full of glory. You have a peace which passes all understanding. God's Holy Spirit himself, the living God, takes up residence with you. You say, when's that? I know of eternal life, and I know it the moment that one believes. Do you see that? All a person needs to do is to believe categorically. It's not about your works, absolutely not. You need that everlasting life. Let me just give you just two accounts. One of someone who's dead, one who's someone's alive. But these two people have weighed heavily on one soul. There was a man who committed great crimes, bad crimes. And you know when you go to a funeral, you know what it's like. In a funeral, everybody goes to heaven. Have you ever been to the funeral where the minister says, this man's gone to hell? I've never been to one. And no, I haven't been to one. And the reason you haven't been to one is because, you know, at the end of the day, it's not for us to judge, do you understand, whether it's heaven or hell. You know, that judgment has not been given to us. But what I do know is this, that when you go to a funeral, it's amazing that the world is in such a state. Because everybody who dies in Narberth has been a fabulous person. They've been great to everyone. And, well, we should be the happiest community ever. But this particular one, this was a sad one. Because he committed great crimes. And before he died, I went to see him. And I spoke to him about the sin that he committed and the crimes that he had done. And I said to him, I said, if you were to repent now and confess those sins, you could be forgiven with God. The only thing that he said unto me was this. He said, of all the good that I've done in my life and the things I've done in the things of the church and the rest of it, I said, you need to repent. And you need your sins forgiven. I tell you, when I stood at that grave, there was one I thought to myself, that's a place, not for me to judge, but that close and never repenting of one's sins. The second person is the person who's alive, weighs heavily on my heart. Person who came here for a number of years, asked all the questions, studied the Bible, did all those things about what you need to believe concerning Jesus Christ. And then to have these words and another one, and simply said these things to me, I can never believe. Wow. I can never believe. I wish they had said, I will not believe. There would have been some hope. But they simply said, I can never believe. They've gone to another place of worship, but all the praise and all the church and all the ritual and all the bread and all the wine will not save one. For if you believe in me, you will have everlasting life. Do you see it? And that's the only tool that I feared for. One which is dead, one by the grace of God, which can hopefully come to a place because you need to believe. And it comes to a place in your life and it's simply this. I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus. Trusting only thee. Trusting thee for full salvation. Great and free. That's it. Do you know, that's all you need to do tonight. Is to believe in him. What he said is true. Everlasting life. He's the Son of God and he will give it to you. And what he did on that cross of Calvary, and he's died then for you. Look, we're just going to close with a word of prayer. We're going to bow our heads. Let's pray. You tell us in your word, O Lord, without faith, it is impossible to please you. You have spoken to us in such a way that, Lord, you have condescended. You have made it clear, without confusion, with great simplicity. We come before you this night with nothing in our hands we bring. Simply to that cross we cling. We ask, O Lord, for each and every one of us that that gift of faith will be given. That those, every one of us here, will say in our heart, I believe you, Lord. I believe you. I'm a sinner, Lord. Come into my heart and save me. We ask you, Father, for this meeting, that it will be one, Father, which is one of life and not of death. Hear us, we pray now. May it be forever and ever. Amen.